Welcome to another edition of An Artifactual Journey. I'm your host, Philip J. Merrill, and
I'm barely running on 3 hours of sleep.
I don't really think anybody needs to know that, nor care, but thank you for sharing. And who are you really?
I'm Veronica A. Carr. I'm your occasional co-host.
And?
And the editor and producer of this lovely podcast.
And?
And currently thinking about a banana smoothie right now.
Okay. WTMI, way too much information. So for all the people that think that we have fallen off a cliff, off the turnip truck, or lost our everlasting mind, all of that is true. In addition to the fact that we've been working on books, lectures, digitizing the archives, and traveling.
Traveling is as fun as it might sound to some of you. Traveling is a beast.
It wears us out. On top of which, we have a very, very intelligent, active, and adorable little 2.5-year-old named Isabella.
Who's currently watching Paw Patrol, so fingers crossed that like the little puppies of Paw Patrol keep her attention for a while.
Or Peppa Pig or Bluey. I don't care which one, just one. Right, just one of them. So in honor of Women's History Month, we would like to talk about
Emma Azalea Hackley, Lifeline 1867 to 1922.
And naturally, yours truly was doing what I love to do, which is to treasure hunt for new and important collections, be it collection of 100 or more items or 5 items, or in some cases, what I call a single shooter, which is just one item. I happened to be on a hunt one day and uncovered a rare postcard of the Mansion House at Hampton Institute, Hampton, Virginia. And today, for all you HBCU lovers, it is the Hampton University and not Institute.
And the Mansion House actually has some interesting history, but that's another podcast for another day.
It has some great enslaver history, does it not?
It does.
I mean, we could do a whole segment maybe another time, like you said. I happen to uncover a August the 23rd, 1913 postcard that was actually signed by yours truly, Emma Azalea Hackley. I had to do a double, triple take because I was like, wait a minute, I know this lady's name. On top of which, she had beautiful penmanship and I had to have it. So we acquired it. Obviously, the dealer had no clue, which is always a blessing. And it leads us to this exciting podcast.
And for those of you who have no clue who Emma Azalea Hackley is, join the club. I had no idea who this phenomenal woman was until we did some in-depth research. And so let me give you just a little bit of background on Emma Azalea Smith Hackley. If you Google her name and a woman who appears to be white pops up, that is her. She's very, very, very light-skinned, comes from a mixed-race family out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee. She's born in 1867.
Well, you almost slurred that, didn't you? Can you say that again?
No, it's terrible. Try saying that 5 times fast.
Well, how about 2 times?
Murfreesboro.
Okay.
And I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right. Emma Azalea Smith was born in 1867 in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
You go, girl. You didn't slur those words that time,
goodness,
did you?
Yes.
Murfreesboro. Yeah.
Her parents were actually business owners, Henry and Corilla, or Corilla, C-O-R-I-L-L-A, Smith, who eventually moved from Tennessee to Detroit, where she attended the Washington Normal School, graduating in 1886. She was a child prodigy. She learned to play the piano at the age of 3, and later took private voice, violin, and French lessons.
Multi-talented.
Very multi-talented. And during her years as an elementary school teacher, she met and married Edwin Henry Hackley. And if that name sounds familiar, he was a very noted Denver attorney, editor of the city's black newspaper, the Denver Statesman.
Look at this power couple that we don't know about. In the 19th century, there are so many power couples of African descent that we don't have a clue about. And this is just another example.
Especially the ones out west. You know, we typically don't think of black people out west until a certain point. But here they are in the late 1800s, early 1900s, really becoming like a Denver power couple in terms of having a prominent newspaper. They're also prominent political activists. Emma Azalea Hackley believed in using her music to encourage race relations and uplift the African-American race.
And many years ago, I gave a lecture at the University of Denver, Colorado, and I was determined before I left Denver that I was going to go to the historic Black Five Points District to see and walk in the footsteps of where some early Black Denver history was. It was phenomenal.
And of course, the Hackleys would have lived there. They would have socialized with, you know, the who's who of Black Denver.
I first was aware of her husband, the playwright, before I became aware of Emma.
Right. I was familiar with his play, The Ambassador. And you have to be careful how you type that in when you're researching it, because another movie actually pops up, but if you type in The Ambassador, Edwin Hackley, it's a three-act comedy play that is not very well known, unfortunately.
And somewhere buried in the archives is an original playbill of Hackley's Ambassador.
And then there's a magic lantern slide that was actually of the Ambassador play performed in Baltimore at the historic Dunbar Theater. And you actually see the cast list for who's actually playing in that interpretation of the Ambassador.
That magic lantern is super rare. And again, these single shooter artifacts help us to tell a more comprehensive story. And they're all about a name that we should have known about, but we haven't really celebrated this Hackley name like it deserves to be recognized.
So getting back to Emma Azalea Hackley, after she gets married to Edwin Hackley and then moved to Denver, Colorado, he got a degree at the University of Michigan, and he was the first African-American admitted to the Colorado Bar, after which he founded the newspaper.
Impressive.
They also went on to found a number of groups, including the Imperial Order of Libyans.
Never heard of it. Thank you.
Formed to combat racial prejudice and bring about equality. Mm. And they actually also founded the Colored Women's League, of which Emma Azalea Hackley served as executive director of its local branch.
So look at what we're able to interpret, uncover, connect the dots off of one very regular looking 1913 postcard that was showing off the mansion house at Hampton Institute in Hampton, Virginia, HBCU. That leads us on this artifactual journey. And why don't you take a moment and just read what it says on the back of the postcard, please.
It says, "Greetings. Hope to get your way in early December. Keep a date for me and here for a month doing some teaching. Sincerely yours, E. Azalea Hackley, until September 3rd through the 5th, Hampton Institute."
And who was this addressed to?
It's actually going to a President Sherrill of George R. Smith College in Sedalia, Missouri.
So here we go again. Who in the world has heard of this George R. Smith College in Sedalia, Missouri?
I haven't.
So, guarantee most of our listeners haven't.
So George R. Smith College in Sedalia, Missouri was around from 1888 to 1925.
Who's the most famous person to attend there?
Why don't you take a guess?
Why don't you take a guess? Do you know?
I'm not going to try and take a guess. I'm actually going to read off.
Okay, okay, all right.
Ragtime pianist Scott Joplin actually attended George R. Smith College.
Yes, The Scott Joplin. Who knew?
Who freaking knew? George R. Smith College was named for the founder of Sedalia, Missouri, and begun in 1888 when the Daughters of George R. Smith gave land to the Freedmen's Aid and Southern Education Society of the Methodist Church for a school, quote-unquote, devoted to the moral and intellectual culture of the colored people of the West.
I love those words, like moral and intellectual culture.
I love it.
Do we even have any of that today in 2023 as we march into 2024?
No comment. I plead the fifth.
Okay, all right. How many times are you going to plead the fifth?
As many times as needed.
Is it going to lead us to drink a fifth?
It might.
Okay.
So the main buildings were completed in 1894, and it was actually commissioned as a state college in 1903.
Again, never heard of it. And probably if it wasn't for Scott Joplin's name being associated with it, most people still would never have heard of George R. Smith College.
It was a liberal arts college. They offered 8 courses of study: classical, philosophical, scientific, normal, commercial, English, musical, and industrial. But unfortunately, a fire destroyed the school in 1925, and they were unable to raise any money to rebuild the school. Their records eventually went to Philander Smith College in Arkansas,
which people are
more familiar with. Correct. Than George R. Smith College.
Correct. Let's backtrack for a minute. With this postcard, what we found through research that is confusing is what?
This postcard's from 1913, and according to everywhere you look online about George R. Smith College, President Sherrill only served until about 1911 or 1912 in some cases. So the fact that he's addressed as president in this postcard is a little bit confusing. You know, either on one hand, Emma Azalea Hackley wasn't aware that there was a change in presidents at George R. Smith College, or he was the president emeritus, and in some cases they would still address the president emeritus as president.
Correct. Those are two good theories as to why this would be addressed to him and not to the current president at the time. The other thing that I find interesting about this is when you delve into her music teachings, she actually was under contract to come in to do some work on a limited basis at Hampton Institute.
She was, and she also studied under very, very prominent musical educators, including the former Metropolitan Opera star Jean de Reszke.
Can't help you, sister girl.
She traveled to Paris, actually, to study with him between 1905 and 1906.
So we got heritage, global tourism. She's fluent in French. She can play the violin. She can sing. She can teach. Her husband is a journalist. Activist. I mean, this is your quintessential power couple.
And she was also the first African American to graduate from the Denver School of Music in 1900.
Okay, once again.
As a concert soprano.
I'm done. I'm so tired of saying who knew, but who knew?
And to top it all off, because she's that amazing, while she was at the Denver School of Music, she was the assistant director of a large choir in Denver and was the choir director at her local church as well.
Full transparency / disclosure, any background noise you hear is Isabella, because she's decided to come and sit near us while we are taping this podcast.
She's secretly like another executive producer, so I guess she's trying to like monitor our content.
At one point in the future, she definitely will be heard and seen on all of our podcasts.
Then she won't be so eager to be on the podcast.
Of course, that's how that works. So, yes, this fits Women's History Month. It also fits HBCU history and culture. It also fits Black travel. It's just fascinating to see the different parts of the country that the Hackleys are involved in. Again, it's not just Denver, Colorado.
And also, it's fascinating to see the impact and influence that Emma Hackley had as well. As a professionally trained concert soprano, she actually went on to train some notable people, a younger generation of singers, including, yes, the Marian Anderson.
Wait a minute, the Marian
Anderson? The Marian Anderson, yes. She also trained Roland Hayes. If you don't know who he is, look him up. He is phenomenal. And R. Nathaniel Dett.
And so she's connected to some serious heavy hitters in the world of opera and, you know, high-end music.
And unfortunately, we don't even know her name. We know some of the people that she helped to train, and she also helped to raise money for additional training for these and other singers who we may or may not know.
I find this fascinating also.
After a brief Canadian tour in 1911, she created the Vocal Normal Institute in Chicago in the hopes of providing an institution where artists could develop their professional abilities. Because if you think about it, in certain parts of the country, unless there was someone already established, and by someone I mean a person of African descent, who could help train you, you were barred largely from the white facilities, unless you could pass for white and did pass for white. So it always helped if someone else was there to establish something like a vocal institute or a training school, and they actually had the ability to train other up-and-coming artists.
And I think the pinnacle of all this is, I would love to have a copy of this in our archives, but I've yet to find one.
Hackley published her own collection of music under the title Colored Girl Beautiful. And I think what's phenomenal about that title is she had so many opportunities in life to pass for white because she looked close to pretty near white, but she embraced the full idea of being a colored woman, an African American woman, and wanted everyone to see how proud she was of her heritage.
As we wrap this up, once again, it's so important to leave no stone unturned. To the average person, this was just a basic 1913 postcard that on the front, it showed the mansion at Hampton Institute, now Hampton University in Virginia. And on the back, it had some beautiful penmanship. And because I pay attention to very, very minute details, I immediately got excited. As I stated earlier, I did a double, triple take when I saw the name because I recognized the name. So don't ever just think, oh, that's just a postcard, or that's just a photograph, or that's just a ticket stub or business card. Do due diligence with your research because it could lead you to a proverbial goldmine piece such as this.
All right, so we hope you've enjoyed this episode of Artifactual Journey. Please like, share, comment, check out our other episodes as well.
And remember, we do this because it's part of our journey in life. It's part of our mission. It's our purpose. And we would like to be able to shed light on the lesser known aspects of people of African descent on a journey through America.
All right. As always, I'm Veronica Carr.
And I'm Philip J. Merrill.
And that's Isabella in the background. And we are out.
Thank you.